You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, August 2nd, 2021. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, it is primary day in Arizona and Michigan and Washington State, then Missouri and Kansas, as well as a key referendum in Kansas. It may give us a slight sense of how the overturning of Roe v. Wade will impact the midterms. Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi lands in Taiwan, and really no one understands why she's doing this. Top Democrats hint at corruption of the Department of Homeland Security Inspector General in his cover-up for the Secret Service. U.S. kills alleged bin Laden successor and planner of 9/11 by drone in Kabul. Florida Governor DeSantis orders Florida schools to disobey federal LGBTQ protections. And as California declares a monkeypox state of emergency, Biden creates a monkeypox task force. Lindsey Graham challenges the Georgian grand jury subpoena he received. And the first Capitol rioter to face trial, others have copped pleas, got 7 years in prison. Brittany Griner back in a Russian court. New York Attorney General Letitia James joins a lawsuit versus Glock for that subway shooting in New York City a couple of months back. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. It is Newsday Tuesday. Is that right, Emma Vigeland?
That is right. Good job, Sam.
Thank you. Emma helps me out with my syntax and my diction.
We could format that part like a children's show. Like, what day is it today? And then throw it to Emma.
Right, right.
We need that, like, sort of like tinkly piano thing.
Like Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Tuesday. We should do
that. So it's Newsday Tuesday. And we should say this. A couple of house cleaning points. First off, the entire show may go away in some time during the next 2.5 hours. We have secured an air conditioner. Mm-hmm. It is a portable air conditioner. We can't put any in our windows in this building. And as we await our landlord to bestow upon us a new air conditioner that is like built in. What are those called?
The wall unit, right?
Some type of wall unit or something like that. And he was a little bit slow on the draw, so we went with this. And this...
It looks like C-3PO.
The air conditioner is bigger than it looked like online. And it's about...
Tubes. It looks like a robot. It looks like it's a robot here to serve us.
I think Sam was expecting like a boombox size.
I thought it was going to be a little bit smaller. That is a 14,000 BTU. And the only problem is it crashes all the power. It blows the fuse in here. So we haven't quite figured that out yet. So in the event that we disappear during the course of this show, know that we'll be back on within 4 or 5 minutes and that it's just a function, right? I mean, that's fair.
I mean, we are just
I'd say 5:10, but yeah, 4 or 5 we can aim for.
We're drowning in peacock money. That's why we were able to get the,
yes,
that air conditioning.
Yep. Thank you, Peacock, for that as well. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's see what we got here. Okay. Well, I guess we got to do this. You know, it's all the rave right now. We were able to assassinate Ayman al-Zahawi. Supposedly, we killed no one else in this attack. Again, you say supposedly because give me a couple more weeks and maybe we'll find something different in that. And so here is Joe Biden announcing that.
No day shall erase you from the memory of time. No day shall erase you from the memory of time. So we continue to mourn every innocent life that was stolen on 9/11 and honor their memories. To the families who lost fathers and mothers, husbands, wives, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, friends and co-workers on that searing September day, it is my hope that this decisive action will bring one more measure of closure. No day shall erase them from the memory of time.
He really committed to that phrase.
Yes. I mean, he liked it.
It's a good thing that terrorism is over now.
Well, you know, the I imagine it's not. This is someone we have apparently been trying to kill for 21 years. I was one of those people who believed that we should not have assassinated bin Laden if we had the opportunity to take him in at that time. I don't know that we had the opportunity to take in, to ever capture Ayman al-Zahawi. And again, supposedly he was a Hellfire missile was shot from a drone. And he was on his balcony in a fairly ritzy area of Kabul, to the extent that you get ritzy areas in Kabul. I would imagine you get some level of ritz. And his family, who were either in the building or out of the building, were unharmed. And so supposedly he was the only one who was killed. I guess one could argue that he's an enemy combatant and we're in war. I have no idea what he was up to in that respect. But it is what it is. I don't know that it's going to make a material difference. I've read different things that suggest that Al-Qaeda is they're going to have some measure of trouble because the succession is not as easy as it used to be for these organizations, and this one has lost some steam. Apparently, it will be less chaotic than the succession of power that we had in 2020. But It remains to be seen.
I mean, it is interesting that this happened in Kabul after we've withdrawn from Afghanistan. I mean, I think there's two ways that you can look at it. One, what the hell was the point of this occupation for two decades of this country if we were supposed to be fighting Al-Qaeda and terrorism? And once the U.S. has withdrawn, then they achieve this goal. And then the other way you can look at it is, well, we are still going to have a presence there. and that presence will be from overhead and civilians will die.
Yeah, they said explicitly when we pulled out of Afghanistan that we were still going to maintain over the horizon operations. And that's what they meant by this.
It's poetic.
We should also say the Taliban, part of the deal that Donald Trump negotiated with the Taliban was that you will not allow Al-Qaeda leaders to live in Afghanistan, and apparently that deal didn't quite work out. But yeah, it does show the sort of abject failure of the Afghan war. And I remember when we went in there, the vow was we're not going to leave this country destroyed like the Russians did. And we're not going to leave this country in ashes, and we're going to rebuild it. In fact, George W. Bush, who got elected by saying we're not nation builders, And then that changed after 9/11. And then it turned out it didn't change, that we're just nation destroyers and not nation builders. And I don't know that he meant, you know, we'll take 20 years to prove that we're not going to build your nation. But that's what happened. And so here we are. To the extent that there's any lesson to be learned from this, it is when we're on the brink of another conflict is when one should deploy these lessons. I don't know what else there is at this point. Yay, we're not killing civilians. Okay.
And that's not even a this guarantee.
Yay, it appears like we may not have killed civilians in this attack. So, but there it is. Got a couple of words from our sponsors today. ZBiotics. We've talked about this. They are little packages of a drink. It is a probiotic drink. And what it does, and I did not know this, I always assume that you get a hangover or you feel bad the next day after drinking really any amount now, particularly when you get to be my age, one drink, I'll feel it the next day, is not from the dehydration that comes from alcohol. It is the byproduct in your gut, a toxic byproduct that comes from alcohol. So what you do is you drink a bottle of this ZBiotics. Like I said, it's about this size, like it's a little, barely a shot. And you do this before your first drink. One bottle is all you need. You go out. You can have one drink or multiple drinks. It doesn't matter. You drink responsibly, of course. You pace yourself, get a good night's sleep. And with the ZBiotics, the next day is actually like you're not a wastoid. If you want to work out, you work out. If you need to focus or concentrate on something, you can do so. You feel refreshed, you make the most of your day. And ZBiotics, what it does, like I say, it produces an enzyme that's sort of like the one that your liver does. It breaks down this byproduct. It is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It's created by altering the DNA of a natural probiotic bacteria that we eat all the time. ZBiotics is not vitamins or plant extracts. There's no off-the-shelf ingredients. ZBiotics has been rigorously tested and is FDA compliant for safety. If you're the kind of person who enjoys a drink with friends, or, you know, you have your one cocktail during the cocktail hour before dinner, I guess.
Or you disarm your enemies with drink?
Well, that's right. That's one way you do that. Like,
Jesus.
Is your girlfriend? No, what are you doing at home?
When I'm on Left Reckoning tonight, I might disarm myself.
Hey, guys, have a drink. for whatever reason that you drink or give, like, you wouldn't, I mean, you could still give your enemy, I guess, ZBiotics, and so that you could disarm them in that moment.
The ZBiotics to yourself.
Matt's personality is really coming out in this one. It's like a side of Matt. I didn't realize how Machiavellian he was.
What, like 7 years in?
Yeah, I guess so. I've never seen this side of him where he like weaponizes alcohol in this way. But the bottom line is ZBiotics is going to make you feel good the next day, whether you're a friend or foe. You get 15% off your first order of ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic. Go to ZBiotics.com/majority. Use the code majority. That's the letter Z, B-I-O-T-I-C-S, ZBiotics.com/majority. Coupon code majority at checkout saves you 15%. The link is in the description of our podcast and YouTube as always. Also, another sponsor of today's program, Nutrafol. What is Nutrafol? Well, it's a holistic solution for men, although we know of women that have used it as well, which promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness. So you don't have to choose between getting hair growth and your health. Nutrafol's whole body approach to hair growth. No drugs, no compromise. It is the Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement. It is clinically shown to improve your hair growth. It'll improve the thickness, and you will see visible scalp coverage. Nutrafol's hair growth nutraceuticals go beyond genetics to multi-target the root causes of thinning hair, including stress, hormones, nutrition, metabolism, aging, and lifestyle through whole body health. It's physician formulated. It uses natural medical grade ingredients. Nutrafol is drug free. It is a patent technology which provides consistent, reliable results without compromising your sexual health. In a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 and 6 months. It's no wonder that Nutrafol is trusted and recommended by more than 3,000 top doctors. So what are you waiting for? Folks, we've known some people who have tried Nutrafol. It is supplement-based, like I say, like no drugs, and it's been effective. So if it's an issue for you, you can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com, entering the promo code MAJORITY. You save $15 off your first month's subscription. This is their best offer anywhere. It's only available in the U.S. to customers for a limited time, plus free shipping on every order. So you get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled N-U-T-R-A-F-O-L, Nutrafol.com, promo code MAJORITY. Check it out. Also, just a reminder, it is your support that makes this show possible. You can become a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. So primaries happening all around the country. Let's go through them quickly. There are some races that may have implications for the Senate, frankly, as a function of who the Republican candidate is going to be. In Arizona, you've got two big races, I think, that are relevant, for folks around the country. One is the governorship. Trump has weighed in. He's got his preferred candidate, Carrie Lake. She is a former news anchor. Which one was she on that debate where it was full on lunacy? I mean, they all are lunatics.
She was the one who kept being like, I feel like I'm in an SNL skit. Like, right, I feel like exactly. Because that other guy was being like, your campaign is a psyop.
Right. And then, exactly. And then she would drop something that made it seem like she was like part of the sketch as well. And then this Karen Taylor Robinson, who's a real estate developer, who was endorsed by Pence. So Carrie Lake was endorsed by Trump and the other one Pence. And we shall see. The Democrats are running Katie Hobbs. She is Arizona's Secretary of State. She's at least favored to win the nomination. And so that's going to be a big race, governorship of Arizona. These governorships are going to be super important, particularly in these sort of like purplish states where you want to inhibit the ability of Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis or whatever lunatic Republican is going to end up winning that nomination, because you can be rest assured it's going to be a lunatic, from essentially following the game plan that Trump has that drew out in 2020. Also on the Senate side, Mark Kelly is defending his seat, and it appears that Blake Masters is going to win the primary there. He's way out ahead, as far as I can tell. Blake Masters is a lunatic. He is, where in Peter Thiel's, like, sort of, is he his?
He's like Peter Thiel's, like, student helper. Okay. That helped basically, like, convert his notes in into 0 to 1, which is Peter Thiel's business book that helped launder him away from his previous reputation of publishing culture war stuff.
There you go. But Masters himself is a culture warrior type of guy.
Yep.
And the thing that's going to help Kelly could very well be, again, Roe v. Wade, and Masters is not the guy you want if this election becomes a reaction to Roe v. Wade.
I believe that Masters, after Roe v. Wade, the leaked opinion happened, he said that we should look into Griswold.
Oh, without a doubt. Yes.
I think that was specifically the case that he targeted.
Yep. And
meaning contraceptive
access. As we go through this, we'll keep referencing abortion, because I'm going to go a little deeper into that USA Today poll that we talked about briefly yesterday, because it's really interesting. There has been if this poll is even remotely accurate, a sea change in the enthusiasm on the Democratic side to vote. And I think we've seen it reflected in other polls, but I don't know that we've seen a specific poll that could measure apples to apples in this instance. Then we turn to Missouri. This is quite a race on both sides for the Senate. We interviewed the other day Kuntz, who is one of three candidates running, right? It's only three. Toter, Kuntz,
Trudy Bush Valentine,
and Bush Valentine, who
sounds
honestly
like a name out of Mad Men.
Honestly, we mentioned this before. Dumped $5 million of her own money into her campaign. Seemingly, had only a passing understanding or awareness of some of the largest political issues in the country. This is not hyperbole.
Yeah.
She seems clueless about some of the major issues of our time. Things like Citizens United, and not like she didn't know the details of, you know, Citizens United tried to become a movie studio for 4 years so they could put ads for a documentary. No. She had no idea what the top line, this is one of the key rulings that essentially blew open the doors for unlimited money. Maybe something that she wouldn't necessarily be sensitive to because she has unlimited money.
Because that Bush in the middle of those three names, Trudy Bush Valentine, stands for Anheuser-Busch, the beer.
I mean, it's really instructive in that sense that, like, you know, you would think that just anybody who's concerned about good government would want, but
I mean, from the time I was in undergrad, anyone who I met who had a sustained interest in politics knew what Citizens United was.
Without a doubt. And you would think as a candidate, you'd be very attuned to that, unless it like, oh, I didn't even realize, why doesn't everybody just loan themselves $5 million to run for Senate? I mean, it really has that feel for it. We will see. The last poll we saw, they were pretty close, but Bush has this money and can get her name out there, and obviously, but we'll see. I mean, it's a midterm election. It's a primary, but we don't know how much abortion is going to play a role in this in terms of who ends up there. I mean, if it was, and it's also possible that Toter, who is certainly more progressive than Kunst, I think, but with far less of an opportunity to win, and far less of an opportunity to win both the primary and, frankly, the general election. Arizona's just not there yet. And what's that?
Missouri.
Excuse me. Missouri is just Missouri's not even remotely close to being there. Excuse me. And you know, you got to really compare Kuntz to Claire McCaskill. Right. And also know that you're 2 years, you know, whatever, 4 years away from where McCaskill lost. And so this would be a big upgrade for Missouri and completely unexpected.
And you mentioned abortion. Hopefully, because Kansas shares a border with Missouri, right? I mean, there's going to be some sort of spillover from that ballot initiative.
The media market that. Yes.
Because of. Yeah. Right.
But here's the interesting thing, right? Like, it's going to create a very interesting dynamic in this primary, because your activists tend to be more progressive and they tend to vote in bigger numbers, relatively speaking, than your normie Dems in the context of a primary, particularly on an off-year election. However, We don't know who's going to end up voting because of that of abortion and because of their awareness of what's going on in Kansas. We also don't know who's going to vote because you have like a contested race and actually a real opportunity to maybe win. We don't know if those activists are going to go for Toter as opposed to Kunst, you know, which I think in my estimation is a more strategic vote. So we'll see. And what's happening on the Republican side in Missouri is also one of the reasons which is raising the stakes of the Democratic primary. Because as you know, Eric Greitens is running against Eric Schmidt. We'll get to that in a moment. The fact that they share a first name, which you would otherwise
those
be
are
like,
my two favorite Erics in the whole world.
Totally. Now, reminder, Greitens used to be the governor of Missouri. But he ran into two problems. One was an investigation on fundraising issues. This is in 2018. And the other was a what appeared to be a very credible allegation by his former hairdresser that he basically lured her to his house and
assaulted her. It is the details of that story too. People should look it up. We won't say it here, but it is allegedly a very violent assault.
Now prosecutors dropped, the investigation, but it's unclear why that happened too.
But the former problem you list about his campaign finance impropriety, say Bush Valentine prevails in this primary, hopefully she doesn't, might be helpful for her to have an understanding of Citizens United if Greitens is the nominee on the other side.
It just might be important to have her like know stuff about governing. Here is the twist, though, in this Republican primary. Everyone was vying for Donald Trump's endorsement. Who was going to be the Trump thing? And Trump, in a very boldly, it is a real sign of courage, came out and endorsed yesterday, a day before the election. And even more boldly, this is how Donald Trump decided between Eric Schmidt and Eric Greitens. This is off of Truth. This is a Truth tweet or whatever. What are
Truth
we call it?
Social,
I can't wait to retruth that later.
And yes. Matlock on Truth Social.
Missouri State Senate endorsement. There is a big, capital B-I-G, election.
Now imagine you're reading this from one of the campaigns and you're like, okay, here it is, folks. He came out with this endorsement.
We got it. This is going to be big. And it's also like he capitalized election.
He loves doing that.
I can understand why you all caps big, but then you capitalize the first letter of election. Why not just capitalize election, the whole word? But whatever. In the great state of Missouri, and we must send a MAGA champion and true warrior to the U.S. Senate, someone who will fight for border security, election integrity, our military, and great veterans, together with having a powerful toughness on crime and the border. You already said border security. We need a person who will not back down to the radical left lunatics who are destroying our country. Good for him for capitalizing radical left lunatics. I trust the great people of Missouri on this one to make up their own minds, much as they did when they gave me a landslide victory in the 2016 and 2020 elections. And I am therefore proud to announce that Eric has my complete and total endorsement.
In all caps, Eric.
And then he capitalizes the C on complete and the T and the E on total endorsement.
Eric Trump, like his spidey senses started going off wherever he was in Florida. And he was like, could this mean approval from daddy? And not so much.
Not that one. Just who? The ones in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So,
right.
And so both Eric Greitens and, this is actually this is the smartest move for both of them. Tweeted something to the effect of, well, here's Eric Greitens. I'm honored to receive President Trump's endorsement. From the beginning, I've been the true MAGA champion. He also capitalizes the C after that. fighting against the rhino establishment backing Schmidt. President Trump said it best.
What's Schmidt's first name?
When he characterized Schmidt's campaign as great dishonesty in politics. But Schmidt, more sirens, endorsement, President Trump. I'm grateful for President Trump's endorsement. As the only America First candidate who's actually fought for election integrity, border security, and against the left's indoctrination of our kids, I'll take that fight to the Senate to save America.
One of them just needs to tweet in all caps, I am the one true Eric.
It's me.
Eric, in all caps. Does Eric Schmidt even capitalize his name like that? No.
But who will decide this? There's clearly, and we must go to the MAGA umpire, and that, of course, is Kimberly Guilfoyle. Do we have the video? There's
the tweet.
Let's get the video of her doing the thing. That is the that was really actually the funny one. I mean, who cares what Kimberly Guilfoyle tweets? But her video is incredibly impressive that she put out in support of Eric
Greitens. Yeah, it's I was reminded of the It's Always Sunny clip of him saying, I'm playing both sides so that I always come out on top. I mean, he really can't go wrong, whatever the results are tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I guess we don't have that video. It was on Twitter. She's probably has it on her feed, I would imagine. All right. Well, then we'll move on. Michigan. This, are you sending it to me?
Yeah,
let's play it.
Missouri, get out there and vote for Eric Greitens, a true patriot who puts America first, the favorite of the MAGA movement. We need Eric's leadership in Missouri, in the United States. Missouri, get out there
right,
and
that's it. I mean, that is
she's like continuing with that cadence from the
the best is yet to come.
What is
the best
going
Eric
on?
Is coming.
The best Eric is coming to Missouri.
Let's try it again. Just as, like
vote for Eric Greitens, a true patriot who puts America first, the favorite of the MAGA movement. We need Eric's leadership in Missouri, in the United States.
Now, what do you think is going on here that, like, I mean, Trump Jr. and the missus have been back in Greitens, and I guess they couldn't lobby their dad enough. I mean, like, what?
Yeah.
Pretty sure it goes to show that it's not just Eric and Tiffany who don't have a direct line to their father.
Right.
It's
well,
also
it reminds
Trump
you of Jan
6. Like, I mean, Don Jr. and his girlfriend.
It reminds you of Jan 6 where everyone's like, hey, maybe you should do something because your people are setting everything on fire. And it's like, who are you?
And well, and also because Don Jr. was texting Mark Meadows to get to his father. Right? Like, could not call him directly. Had to go through Mark.
I just wonder, like, you know, like, I don't know that I've ever felt more out of touch with the Republican voters when that video is supposedly in favor of a candidate.
Well, she's wearing a wrap dress, so.
I mean, the whole thing is just like she just appears to be like almost like. Like reanimated.
Yeah. She's an animatronic.
Just, I mean, honestly, like
she has gotten her lips done, I think, too.
She's like reading, like in the sort of staccato, and there's
very little movement. It could be CGI.
No movement, honestly. It does
it could
have
be a deep fake.
It does have a feeling of like a deep fake.
Like she sat down one day just to like record a whole bunch of different type of motor movements that they could simulate into the machine, and then she's like, "Okay, I'm going to go on vacation."
And her eyes are just sort of like completely like.
No blinking.
Eric Greitens is the only candidate. You must vote for him. And she just like
he is the most MAGA.
And they
it's like an emergency broadcast.
The amount of makeup that she's put on for that it's almost like she's not like it's it is like there's a, you know, Weekend at Bernie's quality.
Uncanny Valley type thing. Like
it's very strange.
Jinx from Pokemon.
But I guess, I mean,
Gavin Newsom was into it.
I guess so.
I can't think of her without.
Could you imagine if Newsom like is the nominee in 24 and on the other side it's Trump and his family? That's a real
super awkward.
That's kind of messy. That actually might work for Newsom, honestly.
Yeah.
All right, moving to Michigan. Of course, the Gretchen Whitmer, the Democrat, is the incumbent for governor. And her opponent, Ryan Kelly, was arrested last month by the FBI for his actions at the on January 6th at the Capitol. Although it won't necessarily be Kelly, he is running against Tudor Dixon, who is a, I guess, a media personality out there.
Tudor? Like T-O-O?
Tudor, as in like
yeah.
A...
Oh. Yeah, T-U-D-O.
And
like
then
the
there's
family.
A businessman. It is unclear who is in the lead. Dixon got Trump's endorsement, which is... Gotta hurt if you actually got arrested for showing up on January 6th for Trump.
He should have asked for a preemptive pardon, and, just like our boy Roger Stone.
And, yep. and for a little context on Dixon, Betsy DeVos personally entreated Trump to kind of like lay the hatchet down between the two and endorse Tudor Dixon. And I guess ultimately he did. So
yep.
That was kind of interesting too.
Yeah. And then you have a series of... There's a couple of – well, there's one guy who voted for impeachment, Peter Mayer. He's a freshman Republican, and he is being challenged by a guy named John Gibbs. The DCCC – this is one of those races where the DCCC got involved and sort of raised the profile of Gibbs. Now, we should be clear. They're not saying vote for Gibbs. They are sort of – preemptively labeling this guy sort of a whack job conservative, which Republicans feel is unfair because it will get their voters to vote for him more than Mayer. It's one of those things where you're just getting out ahead of it. Like, we can actually cause a mess in these primaries, and I think that's I think that's a fairly strategic play. And then on the Democratic side, we have another iteration of CPAC's involvement in Democratic primaries. They are largely funded by Republicans, so we're seeing a similar dynamic here, except for they're not looking to win. They're not looking to pick the nominee so that they have a better chance of electing a Republican. This is a Democratic seat, and it's going to go to a Democrat. Andy Levin has been is the incumbent. Haley Stevens is another incumbent, but I guess they there was some redistricting. And Haley Stevens has been has gotten a ton of money from AIPAC. Levin, of course, is a fairly progressive Jew. His father was Sander Levin, senator, I believe, from
no, he
was Carl Levin.
Sandy was the House member. Carl was the senator.
Carl was the which one was his father? And
Sandy.
So Sandy
he
was
succeeded
his, okay.
His,
okay,
his,
he succeeded his father. His cousin father. Was a senator, I guess. And they, there's a perception that he is too biased towards Palestinians because he believes that they should have rights.
Well, Bernie Sanders did go and stump for him, right? So that's just proof. He's just another self-hating Jew, just
there
like Bernie.
Yep. And, what's interesting again is that when AIPAC gets involved in this, and pours money into these races, they don't cut ads about Israel, because broadly speaking, Democratic voters have, are if they haven't left the bus already, they're stepping off the bus, and so it's not necessarily a winning issue. for Haley Stevens to talk about Israel-Palestine, they'll attack Levin on a whole host of other things. And we shall see. This is another one where they put millions and millions of dollars into this. Three of the 10 House Republicans who voted for impeachment are facing challenges. One of them, mayor. The others, Jamie Herrera Boitler and Dan Newhouse out in Washington State. That's what's happening out there. There's also some, more lunatics on the right of these people, and we will see. Then let's Kansas. This is going to be maybe fairly or unfairly perceived as the big litmus test as to just how much impact Roe v. Wade has. Now, I think, or the overturning of Roe v. Wade has had, I think it is, I would be very hesitant either way to perceive this as some type of indicator, because people are going out. It's one thing to go out and vote against, vote for a Democrat because Roe v. Wade has been overturned. It is another to go out and vote to make sure that abortion rights are protected. And that can cut both ways. You may see more Republicans come out as a way of voting to essentially get abortion banned in Kansas. Now, to be clear, the Kansas Constitution has been interpreted by the Kansas State Court, State Supreme Court, as protecting a woman's right to choose. So the amendment is to essentially eliminate that protection. So you want to vote no if you're in Kansas on that amendment. There's been some shenanigans, in my understanding, where people are, sending out robocalls implying that voting yes gives protects a woman's right to choose. That is not the case. You need to vote no. I don't know how much of a bellwether you can measure this as. Even if they come out and vote to maintain the protection for abortion, that's a direct one-to-one relationship with that outcome, as opposed to the bank shot of voting for Democrats, versus a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Republicans are going to be a lot more motivated to come out and strip women and folks who can get pregnant their right to decide to not be pregnant. And so Republicans may be a little bit more motivated in that election. We're going to have to wait and see.
I saw the New York Times was speaking to people on the ground in Kansas about it, and they interviewed a Republican, or not a Republican, sorry, a self-identified independent who voted for Mitt Romney before. And he was saying, I'm very motivated. I want to protect a woman's right to choose, and I won't vote for any other candidate that supports a ban on abortion. I don't think many voters like that exist. I think that's kind of like a darling for a reporter to talk to, but there might be some.
Well, here is what I think is a lot more telling, and we'll get John from San Antonio to call in the fun half. But I mentioned this yesterday. There was a USA Today Suffolk University poll. And it's really interesting. They took this poll. They took a poll in June and asked the same question, like, how likely are you to vote in November? And I think the very likely was 29%. This is in June, right after the leak, but before the announcement. So it was after the leak. 29% of Democrats said very likely to vote. They did it again at the end of July, and that number was 64%. That's nuts. And I mean, it's interesting because I'm looking at the story.
It's the second paragraph.
There, yeah. I'm looking at the story here from June 22nd when they did the original poll. And the title of the was Furor Over Roe v. Wade Reversal Likely Won't Rescue Democrats in Midterm Elections. That's what this poll said in June. And I mean, that has changed dramatically. A third of the Democrats say that the court decision. Now, let's be clear here, too. This is at this moment right now, of those 13 states that had trigger bans, 7 have banned abortion completely. Another 4 have implemented a ban starting at 6 weeks of pregnancy. And so we can anticipate 2 more of those, probably whatever court cases are holding it up, to press the ban. And then it's conceivable over the next couple of months, ultimately people anticipating 26 states, over the next couple of months, we could see 4 or 5 more. Kansas could be one of them. We could see maybe 6 or 7 more. And every time a state implements a ban, it's in the news more and people become more aware of it. I mean, when you look at this poll, I don't know if you can say that this accurately represents how many Democrats are most likely to vote. But what it does represent is that the more attention it gets in the media, the more Democrats are more likely to vote. That is like you can read the trajectory and the trend. A third of Democrats say at this point, and remember, well, there's another point to this. A third of Democrats say the court decision hasn't had any effect on their likelihood of voting. 75% of Republicans say it has no effect. Now, this is interesting, too, for people who argue that if you give people what they want, they will be more inclined to vote. Now, Republicans and Democrats don't have the same voting patterns, so this isn't a one-to-one comparison. But the Republicans have gotten what they've wanted, all, like, you know, certainly throughout my entire life, practically. And this has been, in many respects, the Holy Grail. And it will not make 75% of them say it has no effect on them to vote. Now, they could all be ready to vote and this and that. So it's you can't extrapolate too much from this. But 21% said it made them more likely to vote. And so if it's going to make anybody more likely to vote, you would assume that like it would have been higher numbers. In June, Democrats, by 53 to 36%, said the economy was more important to their vote than abortion. Now, in response to an open-ended question, 27% of Democrats cite abortion as their top election concern, more than any other issue and more than a combination of the 12% who name the economy and 7% who name inflation. So whatever was going on 2 or 3 months ago, I mean, that's a year. It's like literally a month and a half ago, has changed dramatically. And the only thing that we're seeing going forward right now is inflation is, you know, if you look at gas prices anyways, they're going down a little bit. We could be headed into a recession, but I don't know that people are going to feel the impact of that, at least, you know, these voters, for another couple of months. So it's going to be interesting. In June, Americans split 40-40 as to whether they supported Democratic or Republican candidate for Congress. Now Democrats are favored by 4%. It's not a huge thing, but that's the trend. And we're seeing that in other places. Women are more likely than men to say the decision could send them to the polls. 49% compared with 32%. That obviously helps Democrats. So did 44% of younger people, 18 to 34 years old, the age group most likely to report an impact, which is also key for Democrats. 64 to 23% self-identified liberals are more likely than conservatives to say that it would affect their decision to vote. and broadly speaking, across the board, asked to name the most important issue affecting their vote for Congress in November. 20% volunteered the economy. It's a combination of Republicans and Democrats. 16% abortion, 11% inflation. 83% of registered voters, including 91% of Democrats, 73% of Republicans support exceptions to abortion bans when the pregnancy is result of a rape or incest. Another 87% of voters, Republicans and Democrats, 92 to 80% support exceptions when the ban exceptions to abortion bans when someone's life or health is threatened by their pregnancy. Now that those two numbers are also important because over the next 3 or 4 months, there is at least the possibility that we're going to hear more and more stories of women dying because of ectopic pregnancies, of people who can get pregnant dying of ectopic pregnancies, of, I mean, every day you can find a story that it reports out. Lawyers in this state hospital have told their doctors not to treat their patients until they basically go into sepsis. We're gonna have more and more stories of people dying because they can't get the health services they need. And so those numbers of these people who are in favor of bans, I mean, exceptions to bans, they're going to slide into, I'm voting to get rid of the abortion ban, period. There's only one direction for those people to go. The question is, how effective will Democrats be? How much reporting will we see, which will tell us, you know, what kind of movement we're seeing there? Because we have gone over this many, many times. The exceptions are useless. They are window dressing, they are a fig leaf. In practice, these things mean nothing. Mean nothing. And it's going to get even worse as these Republican state governments begin to gear up to prosecute people. So this it's going to be interesting to see how this impacts.
Mark Joseph Stern has a good piece in Slate. When can dying patients get a life-saving abortion? These hospital panels will now decide. Remember death panels?
Yep.
Mark Joseph Stern has a paragraph. These committees reveal little about their work to the public, and their membership is usually kept secret. As a rule, they do not talk to the press. They have long functioned in the background, a mostly obscure feature of the hospital administration. Now that's all changed in our post-Roe nation. The Ethics Committee, I mean, just reading that sort of thing makes you chill. The ethics committee may decide whether pregnant patients live or die.
And I'd be curious as to, like, you know, like, what's the turnaround time on their decision-making process?
Yeah. I would imagine.
Beep them out of bed? 2 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, unless it's sort of like, well, we need to see this level of infection, this level of complete agony and pain, this level of bleeding, this level of sepsis. I mean, I don't know how you measure those things so, you know, specifically that you can actually set down rules. And then, of course, they're negotiating with their lawyers, right? And it really, they're going to err on the side of protecting themselves legally. That's where it's going to start. I mean, because...
I mean, naturally. I mean, you can't put... and doctors in a position to lose their license over a situation that's essentially out of their control.
It's going to be nuts. It's going to be absolutely nuts. And so we'll see how this impacts. And Kansas is going to be the first data point. Again, it is not going to be conclusive one way or another, regardless of what the outcome is in Kansas. But, it sure is going to be interesting to see how folks vote.
And you say how the news like sort of amps it up. Like, unfortunately, we can depend on news, horrifying news out of these sorts of decisions that is going to keep it current.
Maybe. But it involves a certain amount of local reporting.
Right.
And really, like, you know, the one thing that how many times – like, I'm just thinking in the context of, like, you know, what comes to us – like, how many times can we tell the same story on this program, for instance? that here's another story out of Texas. Now, they're all coming out of Texas right now. Not all of them, but the vast majority, because Texas is about 3 or 4 months ahead of the rest of the country with their ban, essentially, on abortion, because their 6-week abortion, after 6-week abortion ban, went into effect in December. And everybody else has basically kicked in a month ago. But come September and October, we're going to start hearing from those other states. I mean, it's going to be horrible. It really is. But we shall see what impact it has. And so that's the value, at least, or at least I should say, the analytical value of what's happening in Kansas. I guess we should go into the fun half, and we can talk about that Joe Manchin side right. deal that is part of the Build Back a Bit, I guess. Trademark that. We will dig in and tell you exactly about the sad story of Brandon Straka and how he was completely misunderstood when he was telling the feds about how innocent his friends were, that everybody seems to think that he was squealing on them. And he was just really, like, people don't get it. That's, I went to the feds recently just to talk about how great you guys are all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No.
There's nothing wrong with that. I was just, I just wanted to let you know how cool you guys are. And
that's what I.
How patriotic and
stuff. Dude, I went down to the Eastern District of U.S. Attorney's Office, and I was like,
I got scoop for you.
I got to tell you guys something.
My staff is awesome.
Definitely
awesome.
Do not investigate them for
super
crimes.
Super innocent of just about everything. So
yeah, I was cooperating with how great you are.
Folks, just a reminder, it's your support that makes this show possible. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. And when you allow this show to survive and thrive, you get the free half free of commercials, and then you get the fun half. Hold on. Let me just have a little drink of my coffee in my new mug.
Look at that. Shout out to the Letter Hack.
Yes, Letter Hack Posit mugs on sale right now at shop.majorityreportradio.com. Comes with that handy logo right there, so you know exactly who that guy is. There I am right there, Posit. And do you have your shirts?
Yeah.
Folks, listen, we may have underestimated the excitement around these shirts.
I mean, come on.
The
Majority Report.
These things are selling literally like things that sell a lot. I don't know, like hotcakes.
I'm so popular.
Here it is.
There's this other color. Boom. I got the blue, but maybe I need to take one of these rust or
terracotta
clay ones for myself.
Colors.
Yeah.
Earth tones. Earth tones are in now.
Yeah.
Apparently that color is very hot.
Well, I wanted to, like, when I suggested the colors, I wanted it to be a little bit of a different kind of red and a little bit of a different kind of blue from the logo, because it's just, you know, it's my spin on things.
It's kind of an 80s vibe to that color, I feel like.
I meant that.
My other sister reported that color is in right now.
Ah.
And that was, I don't know if you knew that or not, but there you go.
No, I really have no fashion sense.
Well, congratulations. Maybe you have something inside you that you're not even aware of.
Exactly. I got to tap into that.
Speaking of something inside you that you're not aware of, Matt, what's happening in the Matt Leckian Media universe?
Oh, Emma Vigeland is going to be joining Left Reckoning tonight. So we're going to be talking about some fun things. There's a video I'm going to subject Emma.
Oh, don't worry. I won't tell the U.S. Attorney's Office that anything wrong has happened.
Yeah, I just went down and talked to Merrick Garland about how great Sam is.
Just buddies chatting.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about a few things, but I'm most excited about. Did you watch the Woke Fetus video?
No, because I clicked on the link and it didn't work. It was a paywall or something.
If it's been taken down, I'm going to be horrified. But, well, there'll be fun stuff. We're going to be talking about the manosphere a little bit and how bros are leaving women behind with the culture. Get Emma's response on that. So look forward to that. Patreon.com/LeftReckoning for our Sunday show where we talked with @ShowUsYourWork, who gave us the anti-nuclear argument from the left. So check that stuff out.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920 is the number. If you want to be a part of the program, you can IM us, of course, via the app at majorityapp.com. See you in the fun half.
3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, and I don't think it's going to be the same as it looks like in 6 months from now, and I don't know if it's necessarily going to be better 6 months from now than it is 3 months from now, but I think around 18 months out, we're going to look back and go like, wow.
What? What is that going on?
It's nuts.
Wait a second. Hold on for a second. Emma, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Matt.
Who? What is up, everyone? Nomi Key.
You did it. Let's go, Brandon.
Bradley, you want to say hello?
Sorry to disappoint everyone. I'm just a random guy.
It's all the boys today.
Fundamentally false.
No, I'm sorry. Women.
Stop talking for a second. Now let me finish.
Where is this coming from, dude?
But dude, you want to smoke this, 7A?
Yes.
Hi, me? Is this?
Yes.
Is this me?
Is it me?
It is you.
Is this me? Hello, is this me?
I think it is you. Who is you? No sound. Every single freaking day. What's on your mind?
Sports. We can discuss free markets and we can discuss capitalism.
I'm going to go for a ride.
Libertarians.
They're so stupid though.
Common sense says of course.
Gobbledygook.
We fucking nailed him.
So what's 79 plus 21?
Challenge met.
I'm positively quivering.
I believe 96, I want to say.
857-210-3501.
One half.
3/8.
9/11, for instance.
$3,400. $1,900.
$6.543 trillion.
Sold. It's a zero-sum game.
Actually, you're making me think less of
it. But let me say this.
Poop.
You call it satire. Sam goes satire.
On top of it all,
yeah.
My favorite part about you is just like every day, all day, like everything you do.
Without a doubt. Hey, buddy, we see you.
All right, folks.
It's just the week being weeded out, obviously.
Yeah, sun's out, guns out.
I don't know.
But you should know.
People just don't like to entertain ideas anymore.
I have a question. Who cares?
Our chat is enabled, folks.
I love it.
I do love that.
Look, gotta jump. You gotta be quick. I gotta jump.
I'm losing it, bro.
2 o'clock, we're already late, and the guy's being a dick, so screw him. Sent to a gulag?
Outrageous.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Love you, bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.